I'm Joe Wood, and I believe.
September 19th, 1976, Tehran, Iran. What was, until then, a quiet evening, authorities start receiving several calls from concerned citizens, reporting a bright light in the sky. The Iranian Air Force dispatches an F-4 fighter jet, but as it nears the object, all of its instruments black out and fail, forcing the pilot to return to base. A second jet takes off, but as it nears the light, the UFO releases a glowing object which the pilot assumes to be a missile. As he prepares to fire back, his equipment also fails, and he's forced to turn back. As he does, he sees the UFO release another glowing object, headed straight to the ground.
Welcome to Alien Nation, the show about extraterrestrials and UFOs, asking the question, are we alone? In Alien Nation, I talk to other Earthlings about their otherworldly encounters, and we love hearing your stories, so please get in touch. I'll tell you how to do that at the end of the show. Last week, I spoke to Spiros Malaras about why he made the infamous Alien Autopsy film. This week, he tells us what happened when it came out. So then what happens with the film then next? So your film's done.
So it was given to Santilli.
Santilli's got it.
Now, he's supposed to give it to everybody free. Okay?
Oh, this is a tricky bit.
So what he did was, he gave it to Channel 4 for free. Okay? Because I'm on home territory. I'm going to hear about it. Right?
Yeah.
So Channel 4's got it for free. He's doing what we said we're going to do.
But and how what was the reaction of Channel 4 about this
film?
Well,
they made a documentary about it. And the majority of the people on there were British. And none of them believed it. Yeah, listen, it's great, but I don't think it's real. And my gut feeling, and that's how they were talking, right? The Americans are different, right? So that was being done. Meanwhile, Santilli was selling it around the world, and I wasn't seeing those sales.
He was selling it around the world?
He made millions, $18.5 million.
You're kidding!
So we never saw any of that. So Channel 4 made this documentary, and they had the Queen's pathologist on it, and they had a guy in Pinewood Studios that did Aliens, a guy called Bob Keane. He was a special effects guy.
Yeah.
And he said, well, you know, he said, I could recreate this. It's quite simple. It's like, because he's not thinking outside of the box. He's not thinking, can I make this in 1947? Because nobody's told him about that. He's just thinking, I'm looking at something I can recreate, right?
Yeah.
So the pathologist guy called West, Dr. Ian West. He's at Guy's Hospital. And he said, it's my gut feeling that this is probably man-made. And he said 98% man-made, right? So it got my goat a little bit. And I thought, you know what? These guys are just talking. They no evidence, right? And I didn't like it. So I said, look,
that he was right.
yeah, but you know what? I don't mind them being right on merit.
Yeah.
If they're having a gut feeling, right? Imagine if the courts had gut feelings and put people in prison for gut feelings, right? No. Evidence, right? So I thought, I'm going to make a documentary. I'm going to make a spoof documentary about the spoof film, right?
Oh, cool.
So I went back and re-interviewed them all, right? But I got a guy called Saul Reichlin, who's now a very good friend of mine, and he's a voiceover, but a qualified barrister.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and he's an actor. So I said to Saul, I want you to cross-examine them like a barrister, okay? But in a presenting style. So he said to Ian West, Mr. West, he said, Dr. West, he said, you said it's your feeling that it's 98% man-made.
Yeah.
What's the other 2% for? And he said, well, that's in case I'm wrong. He said, well, with respect, if you're wrong, you're 100% wrong, right? You're not 2% wrong. And he said, do you accept that? And he said, well, yeah, but, you know, knowing what I know about the tissues and the way that they should behave. And right, he said, animal tissues or human tissues? I said, yes. Said, you have no experience of aliens, right? No. So your gut feeling of 98%, would it not be fairer to say it's a 50-50? It either is or it isn't.
Yeah.
Right? He said, well, yeah. He says, so you retract your 98%. because it has to be either it is or it isn't. It's 50%. Yeah. He said, well, yeah, you know, and he said, well, let's go a little bit further. He said, if you have no knowledge of aliens, and this is the first time you've seen an alien, and you haven't got a clue, really, have you? And he said, no. He said, it's 100%, isn't it? It's 100%. You don't know what it is, right?
Yeah.
And he said, well, yeah, 100% I don't know what it is, right? So we turned it from it being 98% man-made.
So this is all in this documentary you did? Yeah. Oh, that's amazing.
And I went out to Roswell. Yeah. And I interviewed 30 people who were there in 1947.
Oh, you did?
And I showed them the film and I said, what do you think? Is it real? Isn't it real? What's that? Right. Do you know how many people told me this is what they saw?
You're kidding.
Absolutely. I don't believe anyone anymore. Right. I've got people standing in front of me lying to me. And I know I made it. And I can't tell them.
God,
I can't tell.
Interesting is that?
Yeah. And I said, but you're on record saying they had three fingers and a claw. I might have been mistaken, but this is what we saw.
Isn't that amazing?
Unbelievable. They want to be special.
Well, they might have seen something very similar.
You know what? I always give them the benefit of the doubt and say something crashed in Roswell. Don't know what that is. Nobody knows what it is. And if aliens are there, I don't know. And I'm happy for that. I'm happy for people to say I've seen an alien. I'm happy for them to tell me whatever. But you know what? Up till now, I've not met one person that can prove to me they've seen an alien. I haven't seen one, not met one. I've met a lot. I've done UFO conferences.
I've seen a UFO.
But what does that mean?
It was an unidentified flying object.
So it could be anything, right?
Well, it looked pretty much like a flying saucer that zoomed off into the air.
Yeah, but it could be anything.
Yeah, it could be anything.
So the bottom line is we don't really know it's an alien spacecraft. We just know it's something you don't know what it was.
Yeah.
Right. So the reality is still we don't have any evidence. I'm not saying you didn't see an alien spaceship. I'm not saying that at all. I believe there must be.
Yeah, of course. Right? We can't just be the only beings in this whole universe.
Absolutely. But do you know what? We've travelled as far as we can travel. OK, so far.
Yeah.
We've seen nothing. Right. So either they're invisible or they're
not
coming here.
Could be invisible.
Or they're not coming here because. The distance they have to travel, if we had to travel to the next galaxy, because we haven't been there, and that's where they live maybe, we die before we get there. We can't live beyond 100 years old.
But they might have advanced forms of...
Science, sci-fi.
That we can't even imagine.
But it's sci-fi, isn't it? It's just we're just saying, well, you know what, that explains it. You know, it could be that they're special, but there's no evidence.
And there's when they can go through a wormhole.
Yeah, yeah.
That could be.
They could be time travelling. They could be black holes, and they could be all sorts of stuff.
Black holes.
You know, but you know what? We still haven't got any evidence for any of that. We just got a theory. And I'm not saying it's not true. I don't know. I actually don't know.
We don't know, but I always think I believe it is true. That's what I believe. So now, with Santilli making millions, what's he up to? What's he doing?
Well, he at the time when the Fox program was made, because I've met the producers since then, and I've got documents, I've got papers and all sorts that I've managed to get hold of. Santilli signed a contract which guaranteed to Fox that this is a genuine 1947 film. Maybe. They wouldn't buy it unless he warranted that it's a 1947 film, okay? He didn't have to say it's an alien. All he had to do was to make sure it's a 1947 film. So it's interesting. It's an interesting document.
But surely they would have looked at the film and seen where you've spliced it.
No, they didn't. He didn't have any of that. He didn't have to produce it.
Oh, he
didn't
have to produce it.
Because he created a story. And his story is the film was so damaged that it disintegrated. It doesn't exist anymore.
Doesn't
exist.
So the actual original doesn't exist, but he's made copies.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And... That was the original story, because it's changed a few times. Yeah. So the original story was, it is real film, I have got real film, and he even registered a copyright at the Library of Congress in America for a film made in 1947 called Alien Autopsy with an anonymous cameraman. And strangely, I still don't know why, I don't know the reason, but he put that it was made in Italy, right? It's a bit odd, because it should be America, but it says it's Italy on the thing. Now... I was signed to a non-disclosure agreement at the beginning that we wouldn't reveal that it wasn't real until they recouped their money.
Yeah.
And we were kept up being told they haven't recouped their money. When, in 2005, Anton Deck made a film called Alien Autopsy. And
well, Anton Deck.
Yes.
Oh, did they?
Yes. And it's a jokey, bubblegum British movie. Oh, okay. It's a bit of fun. It's okay, but it's not the truth. It's not the true story. It's about Gary and Ray, right? Gary Shewfield is Ray's partner. Cut me out completely. They made my part almost insignificant. They made John a mannequin maker, again, insignificant. So it's a Gary and Ray show, really. But here's the thing. By making that film, they put it into the public domain, so I was free to speak. At that point, I was free to tell the story because they had done that now. They'd broken the public domain thing. So I was out of contract, so I could do that. So I came forward at that time and I said, it's not real.
What year was this you came forward?
This was 2005.
Oh, okay.
So at that time, I started then to claim my copyright for the film.
Yeah.
And I secured my copyright in the Library of Congress in America, which is The Alien Autopsy, made in 1995 by me, Spiros Malaris, and it made in London, right? So that's done now. So I own the copyright to that film. Now, where the waters get muddied is Santilli has still got a registration for a 1947 film, okay? And he's had to say, okay, I hands up. The film we made is mostly recreated, right, by Spiros and the team. But there was original film that it was based on, okay? There wasn't. There was never any real film.
Are you friends with him still?
Well, you know what? Let's say I'm friendly. I'm not friends. We don't hang out together.
I'm not surprised.
Last time I saw him was about 6 months ago for a lunch, and I wanted to give him a last opportunity to come clean. I can't say... See, a lot of people don't understand that when I say this, right? But I don't have malice in me. I don't, yeah. If somebody falls out with me, I forget very quickly. I don't have time to hold on to
bad
feelings.
Yeah, I'm a bit like that as well,
yeah.
Actually.
So I don't feel any malice at all. He is a bit of a chancer and a little bit of a, you know, he's out there to make a buck. And and I've said it before, he's sell his grandmother. You know, he hasn't got, that's what it is. That's what Ray is. But actually, he's a nice guy. But, I don't want to do business with him again. He keeps asking me to do stuff with him. And I just
wants you to make another alien film.
You know what?
More realistic than the last one. I wonder.
Can it ever be followed?
I don't know.
No, I don't think it could. I don't think it could be followed. The UFO community hate me, as it is.
Well, you made them believe something.
That's right. And then I said, no, it's not real. Ha ha. Yeah. Right? That's what they think. No, I didn't do that at all. What I did was, I'm a magician. I wanted to make the greatest illusion perpetrated by a magician on the world.
I think you did that.
Yeah.
Because I remember seeing that and going, oh my God, I knew it was real. I knew it was real. Yeah, and yeah. I just loved that.
But my message to the UFO community is this, right? I didn't set out to fool you. What I set out to show you is don't buy everything you're told and everything you see and everything you hear. Question everything. Right. Yeah. And that's something they don't do. You know, religion is a difficult thing to talk people out of. If you believe, you believe. And that's it. Nothing I'm going to say to you. If I keep telling you you're believing something that's not real, you're going to say, oh, I'm not listening to this.
Yeah.
Right. Try it with any religion. So it's not for us to take people's faith away.
Yeah.
But still question everything. It's a good idea.
Question everything. Yeah, yes, good. Definitely.
Yeah. It's a good idea. So, yeah, don't shoot the messenger. Yeah. I'm not. I'm a cheeky chappy. I'm not a bad person.
So now you're touring with this whole.
Yes, I've announced a 2020 tour.
Yeah.
And I've got one in. I've got one in August coming up.
So where are you actually going to tour?
Everywhere. I've been asked to do Canada.
Oh, nice.
Paris. I'm doing Vegas. 15th of Feb. I've been asked to do Vegas.
You're doing Vegas. Well, is that a UFO convention?
Yeah, that's a big convention.
God, I'd love to go there.
I'm gonna turn up, and I'm gonna. There's gonna be a lot of hostile people in the audience.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you a funny story. The first time I ever spoke about this was at a convention for my friend Philip Mantle in Leeds, and big convention, a few hundred people there. And I I wanted to do a little bit of magic with them before we start, okay? So I started off with, I had two stones taped underneath each seat, okay?
How many people were there?
There's quite a few, hundreds, 300, 400, 500. And so a big, big hall full up. And I said to everybody, I told them a story how I went to Roswell and I went to the crash site and something very weird there. There's a funny feeling there. Something major happened, okay? Felt it immediately. And I built the whole thing. And I said, now, I brought back some stones that I picked up from the crash site in Roswell. If you look under your seat, they're taped underneath your seat. Please take them out. And they take them out. I see. Everybody's got two stones. And I say, you can have those as a souvenir. But before you do, I show you that they have magical properties, right? And I can't understand what it is. And I got them to push them together. And I was talking to them the whole time. There's a lot of suggestibility. And I said, but you can't pull them apart, you see. And they couldn't pull them apart. And I said, can you see they've magnetized to each other? They're not metal, they're stones. So this shouldn't be, and the more you try to pull them,
it's the power of suggestion.
It's a lot of it was, yeah, and they couldn't pull them apart. Now some people did because they wasn't in the room, but a lot felt it, and you could hear the gasps in the room, you see. So I said to them, ladies and gentlemen, you mustn't believe everything you're told. I bought those this morning at B&Q, right? They're not from Roswell. Right. Now, at this point, they hate me, right?
I bet.
But what I didn't actually think further than that. I just gave them ammunition to throw at me.
Right? Well, did they all start throwing them at you?
No. But I thought, you know what? They could very easily pelt him all these stones. So already I got their back up, you see. And I right. So, and I thought it was funny for me, but for them, it was like, you know, they all got taken in, you know. And I said, you see how easy you got taken in? Don't believe everything you're told. Right, the alien autopsy is not real. I made it in 1995. All of a sudden, the room's against me. And this is the level, right? Somebody shouted out from the back, you didn't make the alien, you're not God. Right? So that's the level they're
really?
At. Right? They're at a whole nother level. So I thought, wow, this is I didn't think this is possible. These are grown men, grown women. These are educated people.
See, they want to believe.
Absolutely,
it
absolutely.
So much.
So I do regret that I mess with people's belief systems, but on the other hand, I kind of think, you know what?
We should be open-minded.
Yeah, I can prove it's a fake. So let's start again. You know.
Yeah.
So when you do see a real alien, let's actually do some proper investigating, not just believing it.
You do see a real alien, don't take him and give him an autopsy. Become his friend.
Take him to dinner.
Take him to dinner, yeah. Take him down the pub.
Did you ever notice that the alien didn't have a belly button?
No. So why did you decide not to put a belly button to be a boy?
I'm glad you asked that question. The idea is that this is not a born body. It's a grown body.
Okay.
Okay. So you wear out your body and then you move to the next one.
That would be fabulous.
This is the idea.
It?
That then explains how they could travel the distance that they would travel. Okay.
Because it's actually like their soul that's kept in there.
So you remember that idea about the backstory?
Yeah.
Okay. For me to build this alien, I needed to know who the alien was.
Okay.
Okay. How did they function? How did they work? So we created, in the backstory, a double stomach. Okay. And what happens is the first stomach creates bacteria.
Yeah.
And feeds the second stomach, which feeds the body. Okay.
Oh, good idea, actually.
So you can hibernate, you can sleep, and it will just keep creating bacteria that feeds you while you're sleeping. Okay. But if you're dead, what would happen is that this stomach will stay alive and the bacteria would be alive. You'd just be dead, right? So, and that would just carry on building and your stomach would distend because it's filled with gases and bacteria that's being built. So we made the belly distended.
Yeah.
Now, the reason that's a nice double whammy is that the onlooker who isn't clever, just an ordinary person, not a doctor, not a scientist, just looking at it, it's pregnant. Right, it's got a belly like this, it must be pregnant, and it's a girl, right? But later, when we cut it open, we see it's not pregnant, and we see that actually the insides are more insect-like. And the reason they have to be insect-like is so they can travel far distances at great speed without breaking up. The G-force. And we've all heard about, you know, the only things that survive a nuclear war would be cockroaches. Right.
So, and Keith Richards.
Yeah, of course. That's a given. bless him. So all of this is the backstory. Okay. So we made it, distended stomach, looking like it's a female, but quite muscular and stocky, but so it looks like it could be masculine. But it's a girl. What is this, right? So the questions are being, you're kind of going back and forth. And the lack of a belly button then creates a situation where, okay, this is not a born creature. Yeah. And
that's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that would have given lots of people lots of questions. Question why it doesn't have a belly button.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. But the thing is, you need to look for it. You've seen the film. But you didn't see that, right?
No, I
because
didn't
you're
see
not
that.
Looking. But a doctor would look, you see.
Yeah.
A scientist would look. So the level of backstory was necessary to create this creature. You know, everybody tells you, I saw an alien and they've got these big black eyes.
Yeah.
Right? Everybody says that. They're big arm and black eyes. I hated that whole thing. I didn't like it. The reason I didn't like it was because it doesn't make sense. I know how lenses work, and that doesn't work as a lens. Right? There's no iris, no pupil, it doesn't work. It's just one big black thing, right? So I thought, I don't want to take that away because everyone that's ever seen an alien has said that's what they've got. So if I don't...
Maybe they're just massive, great big black pupils.
Well, they're not. They're lenses. I made them into sunglasses, right? So they're just basically futuristic sunglasses. So...
They pop in their eyes.
They're just lenses that are in the eye, makes the eye look black. So in the alien autopsy, if you watch it again, you'll see that the surgeon actually removes one of the lenses and underneath there is an eye. And that's a beautiful effect that we did. And all it is John painted the eye into the mould, right?
Yeah.
And then later put the colour in. He actually had beautiful grey blue eyes, you know, but in black and white, you can't really tell. And we then covered the whole eye in KY jelly. Then we put black latex into the and let it set. So now we've got a layer of KY jelly, and then we've got a layer on top of the latex. So when we peel it off, it's all gunky and it looked fantastic, didn't it?
Yeah.
Such a cheap effect, but
yeah, that was a good effect.
But it looked so beautiful on film. And it answered a question for those that know. So when you peel off the black eye, oh, that's how it is a proper eye. It has got a proper lens.
It is a lens.
This
over
is
the
just
top.
Because they're flying through sun, very close to various suns on their journey. Great light. They're going to need those. Now the ears are very low set, so traditional sunglasses wouldn't work, right?
So it would be lenses. So they have to put them in their eyes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's very interesting. Yeah. I like that. I really like that bit. In fact, I'm believing more now that this is a real film.
Well, you can join a handful of people that are out there.
So these people really do believe it, even though you can stand up and tell them how it's done. They still believe it's real.
And not only can I do that, I can show film, actual film, showing it's not real. Bits of evidence, bits of outtakes, bits of... They still, you know, oh, yeah, well, that's what you would do if you were trying to cover it up.
You should write a book on this.
It's coming out in July.
Oh, there you go.
Hey.
Yeah.
It's taken 25 years.
That would be great. Really interesting. That is going to be a great book. Oh, it's coming out. It's already written and done.
Yeah, well, it's being put to bed as we speak.
What's the name of the book?
Well, I haven't finalised. I haven't actually set on a final... title.
Gosh, okay, let's think of something really good.
You know, Aliens, Lies and Videotape.
Yeah, that's quite good.
I don't know. You know, I've got a number of titles. Yeah. I'm going to end up with, you know, it's the true story. But you know what? There's been a number of other people made little documentaries and things called the true story. So, I don't know yet. I'll leave that to the last July.
I suppose you'll be able to get it on Amazon.
Yeah, it'll be everywhere. I mean, it's been a long time coming. The UFO community, it's a joke now. It's a joke. You know the picture of the skeleton that sits there and with its crossed legs, and there's a little tagline, the memes that are going around. It says Spiros, you know, waiting for Spiros' book to come out.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's taken me a long time. I'm not an author, right? But And it's such a complicated subject. You don't want to miss anything out.
Yeah.
And every person that was involved, they need their credit, you know. And yeah. I want to make sure that everyone understands who John is and why, what he did and how much he did. And I've written Santilli's bit several times, and my lawyers keep telling me to change it.
Yeah.
Because I'm not very nice in it, but I'm telling it as it is, you know.
Yeah.
It's the truth. But
so you've got your tour. You're touring this year.
Yeah. I'm gonna.
So you're Vegas on the 15th.
Yeah, Vegas on the 15th.
Are you in England?
I'm doing Suffolk in August.
Suffolk in August.
In August, to a UFO group.
Great. Or maybe we'll go down there.
Yeah, oh good, oh good. Okay, I'll send you. If anybody wants to follow me on Facebook, I've got a group which is called Alien Autopsy Fact Files.
Yeah.
And you can go there and ask me questions. And I hide from no one, right? I answer every question.
Yeah.
And even, you know, the skeptics come to me and they say, oh, yeah, well, how about this? What about that? You know, and I just answer them. Very clean, and I illustrate the answer. So it's not just me talking. It's here, have a look at this, have a look at that, and make your own mind up, you know.
Yeah.
There are a lot of clues that I made this film. There's, did you see the debris footage?
I don't think
so. It's bits of alien craft that's on a table, and a soldier is.
Oh, yes,
is,
I have seen okay. that. I have seen that.
The soldier's my ex business partner, Greg Simmons, and he's the guy in the film. And all the pieces on the table. Although they look like just bits and pieces, they mean something. There's I-beams with writing on them. And I created a language on those I-beams. And it's Greek-based. So,
oh, yeah, because I've seen writings, alien writings and things on craft. And,
yeah.
And it's supposed to look a bit like Egyptian hieroglyphics or Greek. Yeah.
So I did a Greek hieroglyph kind of mix mishmash, and I created a language, you know, it's based on English and on Greek mostly. So you can work out what it says. And I created a big beam which says Eleftheria, which means freedom. And I thought freedom is a good name for a craft.
Yeah.
Right? If it was the name of the ship, right? The freedom, yeah. Right? And I did another little small one, which says ISIS. Now, as before, ISIS was a terrorist group. I was talking about the goddess ISIS.
Yeah, the goddess ISIS, yeah.
And the Eleftheria beam, which says freedom in a Greek style, if you turn it upside down, it says video.
Does it?
Right. So this way it's video, that way it's Eleftheria, right? And the idea, it's another fuse, right? So if you show it as video, most people will say, ha-ha, fake video, right? It's a modern thing. Well, actually, it's not. It's a Latin word, and it goes back beyond forever. So,
oh, it does? I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's most people don't know that. So somebody that does know will say, no, actually, this is an ancient word, right? It's not a modern word at all. So there's lots of that. But the fact that it's Greek, and by the way, I'm Greek, right.
I wondered why your name was Spiros.
Yeah. So there's a clue there, right? There's a little clue there. I put out a challenge on the internet and to Santilli and to a number of people to decipher what the small I-beam said, right? The ISIS one. And nobody could. Now, the Eleftheria one is a bit easier. And I actually got a guy in the University of London, a language expert, to decipher it. And I filmed the whole thing. And he deciphered it. He didn't know what it was about. We said, look, let's say you found this in your garden, right? What would you make of it? You know? So we didn't say it's an alien craft. We didn't say it was anything like that. So he looked at it and he said, well, this looks like an E. This looks like an L. This looks like the PH sound. And he went through and he deciphered it. He couldn't decipher the small one, the ISIS one. But once I tell you it's ISIS, if you can speak Greek, immediately you go, oh, I see it. I see it now, right? Because it's hidden. But if you don't see, you don't look, you don't know, right? So I didn't tell anybody what it said until I put the challenge out. Tell me what it says. Nobody could, right? And then I revealed it on my website. So there are so many clues that I know stuff. You know, it's just.
But I think you have to be very clever and imaginative to do all this stuff. You know, you've obviously got sort of a skill here.
I'm always embarrassed when people say, well, so what do you do? right? Because I do a lot of things. And it sounds like I'm boasting. And, you know, it's difficult to say, well, I'm this or I'm that. Or I'm, 'cause I'm equally those things, right? So I've come to the conclusion that I'm a conceptual artist.
And that's a good one.
That's one title that covers everything I do. Because I'm a director of film. I'm a producer. I'm an editor. Yeah. I'm a writer. I'm a magician. I'm a special effects artist.
Yeah.
Right. So when you say, well, what did you do on the Alien Autopsy? I did all of these things. I built the set. I designed the costumes. Right. Yeah. I did stuff it's one job. Somebody's career is that one thing. Well, yeah. I had to do all of these things because I had to keep my crew small. I think my next project will be a movie. Tell the actual story. The Anton Deck movie was
a proper movie where you've got proper actors and you go through the nights in the house getting it together
proper
come back. It's a great story. Yeah. Come back, the door's broken down and there's no sign of a robbery.
Well, it's a black humour.
It's brilliant.
You know, a black comedy, and I think it'll be a great movie with proper actors, proper names. Yeah. I think we can probably draw that because there's interest now. I mean, Steven Spielberg talks about it. You know, I was with Charlie Sheen a little while ago, and he said, "Do you know who wants to meet you?" I said, "Who's?" He said, "Steven Spielberg." I said, "Get out of here!" And he said, "Oh, he talks about the film. He talks about he's a big fan."
Isn't that great?
And I think that's just—I can't even relate to that. I can't even get near.
So many people have seen that film. It's brilliant.
So,
because Steven Spielberg is a big guy and he loves UFOs and aliens and all that sort of thing.
I met a couple of guys through a friend a little while ago who. The mother is an agent, and she said, "Oh, my boys would love to meet Spiros." And I thought they're going to be like a couple of kids, right? Mm. And she said, "Let's organise a conference call." Why am I doing this with a couple of kids in America? You know. Anyway, I ended up with this conference call, and it turns out they're grown men, right? They look like ZZ Top, right? They've got these big beards. They're called the Diamond Brothers. And these guys work with George Lucas. They've done all the Star Wars films and Star Wars and what have you. And they were inspired to get into special effects because of the Alien Autopsy.
Oh, really? Isn't that cool?
So all of a sudden, I've got these guys.
You've
these
got
really,
fans.
These really cool guys who are in the business and they want to do a movie with me. So it'll happen. Somewhere down the line, we'll do.
Yeah, you've definitely got to do a movie. It'd be absolutely brilliant.
I think that's the next thing.
Thank you so much, Spiros. You're brilliant.
No, you're more brilliant. Thank you.
That's our show for today. I really hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please rate us on whatever platform you get your podcast from. It helps people like you find us. Today's show was produced by Mike Hansen for Pod People Productions. Associate producer Colette Cooper and recorded at Hackenbacker Studios by Oliver Briley. Theme music by Mike Hansen and Jamie Allen. Special thanks to Nigel Heath. And our narrator, Mike Hansen Sr. If you want to share your stories, we'd love to hear from you. Just email info@podpeopleproductions.co.uk, subject matter Alien Nation. Beam me up next time. I'm Joe Wood, and I believe.